Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hi there, everyone. Welcome to Culture Crush RX, brought to you by Anahata Marketing. We are exploring the concept of company culture and how business leaders can help foster a healthy, happy, well-rounded workforce where everybody is performing at their best. Today, I have in studio with me some very special guests. I have Beth Amoroso, who is the Director of Human Resources at Harrah's Auction Casino. We're going to have an interesting little talk about the hospitality industry and creating culture in a casino, which I think is a really unique kind of concept that we'll dive into. And we also have Abby Fink, the Vice President and General Manager of HMA Public Relations, who I actually have a personal history with. I got my start in public relations with HMA, learned everything I knew from Abby. So I have everything, I have her to thank for a lot. You guys can thank her for listening to my voice right now because this all got me here. But we're going to dive in. I'm going to let you guys tell me a little bit about each of your companies. I like to start with a little loop question here. What was your very first job? Does anybody want to go first? Abby?
Well, my first job, I suspect, was probably babysitting, which told me that was not going to be a second job. But I worked retail all through high school and college. And I think it was a fabulous foundation, really, for any kind of career. Mm-hmm. You learn patience, you learn understanding, you certainly learn customer service. And the camaraderie that's built in that environment, I think, is different than anywhere else because it's just a fast pace and you kind of get real close to the people. In fact, I'm still really good friends with some of the people I worked with, you know, when I was 16, 17 wow. years old. So I think it was a fabulous foundation. I wouldn't have known that then, right. that that's what was happening. But if I look back on it, what I learned at that point, I still use a lot of that skill today.
Awesome. What segment of retail was it?
Consumer goods.
Okay.
I worked in a kind of a store that sold toaster ovens and blow dryers and health and beauty aids. They it's actually what brought me to Arizona. My dad worked for the company, was transferred out here. And then when I turned 16, you better go get a job, Abby. Well, I'll go work there because that was easy.
Yeah.
But it was hard because then your dad was there and you had to be perfect because
right.
everybody was going to tell him if you weren't. But again, a great learning experience and a great way to get to understand,
yeah.
you know, what you need to do to be able to serve the community and whether that was going to mm-hmm. be in a transactional way or, you know, giving back in a volunteer way, whatever it was going to turn out.
Yeah. And starting work young, I think, definitely puts you in a position to
correct.
Shape yourself well.
Yes.
So that's
yes.
very good. All right, Beth, what was your first
like
job?
The real first job, like way back when?
Whichever you want to admit to.
My real first job, I believe I was 14 years old and I worked at Summer Recreation, which was where you could send your children for the summer from 9 to 12. And I worked in a classroom with kindergarten children. And we did arts and crafts and played games, kickball and,
yeah.
and those kind of things. And so that's what I did for a couple of summers. But I also worked retail. Where I realized I didn't want to work retail.
Right?
Yeah. So
that's funny. Right. I worked retail in one of my early jobs too, which I enjoyed until I got forced to work in the cosmetics counter. And that was a interesting group of ladies I worked with. I'll leave it at that. It was very competitive because it was a commission-based job. And I, at that time in my life, was not really cut out for that competitive nature of business. So,
well, and that's a whole different
Yes.
way of operating too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that becomes more about yourself than it is serving the customer
because
yes. you want the sale and you want the bigger sale and you're going to push your coworkers to the side to rush to the counter. And yeah, that doesn't create a lot of camaraderie.
And you probably knowing how I am, I did not fight for that. I also was not that good at when one of the tactics you were supposed to employ was if someone came up to buy the Lancôme mascara, but you were the Estee Lauder rep, you had to try to sell them the Estee mm-hmm. Lauder. I would just sell them the mascara that they wanted.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is not about me. Let's learn. I want to hear a lot about Auction Casino because I am very curious about how you create your culture of caring in a casino environment and the perception that maybe some people have of a casino and how you get your employees to buy in on that and making everybody feel welcome. Can you give us a little bit of background about your culture at Auction?
Absolutely. The culture is the key to everything we do, I have to say. It's an interesting history that Harrah's is now called Caesars Entertainment. We manage the Auction Casino for the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Harrah's is Caesars Entertainment does, and we're the branded as Harrah's.
And Auction is the one in Maricopa, yes?
Auction is in Maricopa,
mm-hmm.
yep. And so We've grown to be a very large casino company, one I think the largest in the world, possibly. But back when Harrah's was smaller, when they only had casinos in Las Vegas and in Atlantic City, mm-hmm. and Nevada and Atlantic City, the chairman at the time brought in somebody to be a consultant. His name was Gary Loveman. And Gary was a professor at Harvard University. And Gary wrote an article for the Harvard Business Review with a couple of other folks, and it's called The Service Profit Chain. Mm-hmm. And the service profit chain it's about that in order for you to develop loyalty and for your customers, mm-hmm. you have to have loyalty from your team members. And so the first thing that you have to do is make sure that you have a work environment where your employees can be at their personal and professional best so that they're loyal to the organization, mm-hmm. so that they believe in what the organization's mission is, so that you can be a profitable business with loyal customers.
Right.
And so for years, with every brand that we've acquired over the time from Harrah's to Caesars Entertainment, we have a multitude of brands now. We have Caesars, Horseshoe, Bally's, Rio, Paris, just to name a few.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, we're very big. That is the first thing that we talk to our employees about, and it's the first thing that we promise them, that we are going to provide you. And it's the one thing all of our brands have in common, even though the Flamingo is different than Caesars, mm-hmm. is different than Harrah's, right? In terms of the product, possibly, mm-hmm. the one thing that we promise all of our employees is that we are going to make this a great environment for you. And then it's about how do we go about trying to do that, because right. we have a lot of different people, a lot of different skill sets, a lot of different interests, a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different education levels.
Yeah.
So how do you create a culture that resonates with that broad
yes,
group of folks?
Absolutely.
And so that
and putting it into action, because
right,
a lot
that's
of
part
businesses
of the challenge.
Can say what they want their culture
yeah.
to be,
yep.
but to actually create it.
So we know that you know the solid foundation of our culture is what is going to help our employees fulfill our mission, which is we inspire grown-ups to play.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. We inspire grown-ups to play, so we want our employees to be able to play. We want them to be in a work environment where they feel taken care of. You know, we first have to satisfy the hygiene needs, right?
Right.
Do we have competitive pay? Can you take care of your family with your benefits? Once that's done, because that's something all of our competitors can do as well.
Right.
Then it's what are the things that we do to make us special? And
yeah.
I believe that our values, our mission and our values are really centered to that. There isn't an executive committee that meeting that we have where we don't talk about culture and what we're doing and use that as a filter to make our decisions.
I love it. So give me a few examples of what are the things that you guys are doing to foster that positive culture, that culture of play, not just for the guests, but for the employees.
Okay,
as well.
So for a culture of play, you'll find in any month a number of activities that are going on, whether it's health, whether it's community, whether it's play, whether it's recognition for service. It's very active for our employees outside of what their job is. So if you go in our back of house area, similar to what I see around here, mm-hmm. you'll just see us promoting, highlighting, what's the word I'm looking for?
Recognizing
all of the things that are important to us. So some of the things that we do, one of the things that we did many, many years ago is we put into place what we call an employee care guarantee. Our employees told us, you know what, it's important for us in this kind of work environment. So let's talk about like a casino where
yeah.
schedules shifts 24/7, you know,
it's
we're
very
open.
Busy environment.
We're open 300, you know, all year long, 24 hours a day. You don't get Christmas off. You don't get New Year's
right.
off. You're required to
That's
work a lot.
That's the hospitality industry.
It is. So we put in an employee care guarantee. One of the things our employees told us was we need to know our schedule 2 weeks in advance. And
Fair
so we
enough.
Do that. And if we don't give you your schedule 2 weeks in advance, or if we have to change your schedule, we provide you with movie tickets or something we call Wow Bucks, which they can use to spend in the cafeteria or in the gift shop or in a restaurant, because that's important to them. They need to be able to plan their lives 2 weeks in advance. And
which is really not too much to ask, right?
It's not, but yeah. there are a lot of places who don't do that.
Oh,
my daughter works
in
hospitality
like
and yes. she gets her schedule, who knows when, 2 days before, a week
right.
before, you know, you don't know.
Right.
And so it's very hard to have a life.
Yes.
So that was very important to our employees. And so that's meaningful to them.
Mm-hmm.
Timely performance reviews, timely performance feedback, right? Mm-hmm. We say, hey, you're going to get your feedback 2 times a year. If we don't give it to you in a timely manner, we're going to give you a service recovery or, you know, employee care guarantee, because that's our commitment to you. Mm-hmm. In order for you to do well, you need to know how you're doing. We're your coach. We need to provide you with that feedback. Mm-hmm. Another thing that may sound silly is that our employees need to get in and out in order to eat, right? They don't have a lot of time for their break.
Right.
And we have an employee cafeteria. So we say, you come in, if you don't get your meal in 11 minutes, we'll give you a free lunch on us, because we know it's important for you to be able to sit down and have some time to relax. So that's just one example. Yeah. I have many others, but
yeah. Well, one of the things that resonates with me in that conversation is that it started with the employees, you know, that they had some needs and some, you know, they heard the conversation around culture, and it's mm-hmm. important to us to implement that at Harris, but yet we wanted to hear what it was to you. Mm-hmm. And so those are pretty easy things to implement, but, you know, thinking about it from the employee perspective, to be heard.
Yes.
To, you know, they listened, and look at that. They actually did something mm-hmm. about, you know, what they heard us say. Certainly not everything can be implemented, mm-hmm. but when an employee gets the opportunity to have that conversation and then watch it actually come to life, that's a pretty powerful statement in that living that culture philosophy.
Absolutely.
You're right. We're very deliberate about employee feedback and touch points. We do an employee opinion survey every year. Every department gets results from that survey. We get mm-hmm. a property result. We get a division result. We get a department result. And we're required to create action plans. We talk to the employees first about the feedback in the department. Hey, here's what you said. Tell me what you meant by this. And then together the departments come up with action plans. They say, here's what you said. Here's what we did. We give quarterly updates on that. Supervisors also get individual feedback from their team. They also create some action plans around that. So listening to our employees and doing the things that they want is really key to what we do. I know you asked about play and how do we inspire grown-ups to play. So some of that other stuff is a little boring, but I think it's very basic to who we are when you talk about caring for your employees. But things with play are, oh my gosh, we do, say, for example, you come into work and it's 110 and you have to walk from the parking lot, you know, we'll get a golf cart and we'll drive you to the employee entrance, which can take, you know, a couple minutes. But on the way, we'll play cash cards. So we'll ask you trivia questions on the way in. And if you get them right, we give you wow bucks. And, you know, so it's just kind of a fun way. When people come into work, we do surprise and delights. We'll have smoothies in the summer. So you just come in. If you're coming or leaving from work, here's a free smoothie. We'll do salsa tasting. We just had an ice cream social. And there are things that seem maybe silly, but they're not. We do what's called Casino Olympics. And we have people just compete against one another, or we do like minute to win it type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And those with the fastest times then get to, you know, play against the general manager, and we do it in the EDR, and it's very visible and people are cheering and it's fun. And we make movies of it, and people love to see themselves. They love to participate and stuff like that. So that's kind of how we try and inspire our employees to play, or give them an opportunity to play so that they can go out and inspire our customers.
Yeah, I love it. It's very powerful, because like you said, what you're creating is an environment for people to come. The guests come and they want to have a good time mm-hmm. and they want to enjoy that place. So when you get your employees in that mindset, it's very much will show to the guests. I absolutely agree. Very good.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing for me, and Beth, what you were mentioning is it's a corporate-wide philosophy. And so it's not just talking about it here, but really across the brand. And so for opportunities for employees to, you know, to grow and potentially, you know, either continue up in opportunities within Harris or with any one of your other brands, they take that culture with them mm-hmm. and they know when they walk into that other environment, they're going to have that same sense of that feeling that they get from their, you know, their home brand mm-hmm. when they go into, you know, visit at another property or such, because it's part of the DNA of who all of you are.
It is part of the DNA of who we are. And that's important. And it's different because, you know, people go to other places and say, you know, it's not exactly the same as Harris Auction. We like to think we're the best.
Mm-hmm. Well, clearly.
Of course.
Our employee opinion survey scores tell us we're in the top group. And from a caring culture standpoint, it's not just the employee care guarantees, but there are many other things that we do. We have a hero our hero committee is our volunteerism committee, but we also have something called the Heart Fund. Mm-hmm. The Heart Fund is totally employee funded. And when our employees experience some sort of a tragedy, disaster, something where they need some sort of financial assistance, either a grant or a loan, they're able to apply for that. And we're able to help support them through a very difficult time.
That's great.
There's a lot of pride in our team. When we do a Heart Fund event, a bake sale or a jeans day or whatever, cookie sale, whatever mm-hmm. it may be, there are a lot of people who just, you know, they're just all in for that because yeah. they know that they're part of a family.
That's what I was just going to say.
If
you're
they
creating
ever
that
need
family
that
vibe.
Help, it'll be there for them. And the things that we've had to support our employees through are heartbreaking. And they're not things that we promote. It's not
right.
like, oh, so-and-so had. But it's grassroots, you know, it's organic. And
right.
it's about our employees caring for our employees. And I think that's the best thing. I don't create this culture. Our employees create this culture.
Absolutely.
And they keep it alive
right.
for us in everything they do. And the playfulness they have. We have this, everyone greets everyone. And people say, oh my God, everyone greets. We have to greet everyone in the back of the house. We have to greet everyone in the front of the house. And some people thought it was ridiculous when we first started this. It was going to be like, we're going to show that we're friendly. And so we kind of exaggerated the implementation of it.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just part of who we are. And you'll get people coming. And when we start seeing it on our customer comments that people are getting greeted by everyone, then we'll know that this has taken hold. And we saw that evolve over a year. And it's so funny to hear our employees say that now they say hello to everyone, no matter where they are. They're like at the grocery store and they're going, hello,
such a
hello.
Habit.
You can't get away from it, but it has to be authentic and genuine.
Of course.
It can't just be hi, you know, like the airline stewardess, bye-bye.
Yes.
Yeah, it's gotta be, you know, hello, how are you? But it really helps us keep our energy up.
Yeah.
And keep us happy and authentic and looking around and looking to see if people need help because we have our heads on a swivel.
Yeah. You're doing a lot to really foster the connection.
Mm-hmm.
What you were talking about with that Heart Fund, I think, is amazing because not only the person that needs the help is feeling that support, but everybody that got to support that person, that feels good too.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then you mentioned that you have a volunteerism committee. I know this is something that's also pretty important to HMA. So I'd like to hear from both of your perspectives about volunteering and giving your time as an employee and how that helps with the view of your company and how people feel.
Sure. You know, I'm a big proponent of volunteerism. I have, you know, from a little child been volunteering at various things, whether that was going along with my folks when they were involved in the community or things that I did, you know, through high school, college and beyond. It's important to me to have the opportunity to give back. And whether that's with my time or with my financial contributions, it's important to do that. And so I feel that as a business owner and someone that's working with a team, I have to support that within the team as well. And I know when we have an opportunity as an agency, you know, we're a public relations firm, we work hard, we are in the trenches all the time, we need a break. We need an opportunity to do something else. And so when we do that as a team, you know, and we've done everything from backpack drives and blood banking and various other things, but we go as a team, it's a couple hours out of the day. The feeling of giving back is tremendous, but the impact after the fact for ourselves is even more so.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the members of our team to have other interests besides the quote unquote 9-to-5 that, you know, exists in the office. I want them to have interests outside and support that. So mm-hmm. we give them the time to go volunteer and sit on boards of directors and participate in things because they come back feeling fulfilled and ready to give back to the business at hand. And
mm-hmm.
and it is such a important part of creating an atmosphere that people want to be a part of. Really, the bottom line, it doesn't take anything to implement it either. Just
right.
to give the time and the support to go out and do that is so well worth it. And we don't mandate it, certainly, but I don't have to ask. They're all
right.
willing to do what we want to do as a team, and they're coming to me with ideas of things that they want to do. And the answer is always going to be yes. If
yeah.
we can make it work, it's going to be yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that definitely when I was working for you, that was something that, so that's been years, but for any of our listeners, I haven't worked for you for more than 10 years.
Apparently that's, we just figured that out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one of the things that we did, we were celebrating a 30th anniversary a handful of years ago, And as most good ideas do, they come to me in the shower. And I had an idea that we should do 30 community service projects to support our 30-year anniversary, which sounds really great at 2 o'clock and, you know, in the morning or whenever your idea pops into your head. When I brought it to the table at our staff meeting, the idea was absolutely embraced. And then we thought, how in the world are we going to find 30 community service projects in a year that we wanted to support? And right. So,
because that's more than two a month.
It is.
Yeah.
And so what we did is we did 10 projects that were employee driven. So based on a volunteerism or a board of directors or an organization that our team supported, we did 10 of those. We polled our clients and said, what are you supporting? And so we did Habitat for Humanity. We participated with Harrah's during one of their Earth Day events and, you know, picked up the trash along the freeways. And we did things that our clients thought were important. And then this was kind of at the time that social media was still being used and businesses were figuring out how to use it. We asked our followers on Facebook, what should we get involved with? And we got a ton of suggestions and we did another 10 community service projects based on that feedback. One of the best things that we did in terms of bonding as a team and supported what ended up being 30 different organizations. We didn't repeat any. And some of those organizations we still volunteer for, and many of them our clients still participate in, so we're still involved with them on that regard. So I can't see any reason not to do it.
Yeah.
And I think when you ask the question of your team, what would they like to support, you'll get lots of great answers, and it's very easy to put a plan in place to make it happen.
Yeah,
I agree. I believe one of the hallmarks of our culture is our volunteerism, is our hero committee, and the opportunities that they have to participate in different things. And one of the questions on our employee opinion survey is, I'm proud to be an employee of this company. And that's our highest rated response is, I know it's because of our hero, our, you know, philanthropic giving. And we participate in so many different things, hundreds of activities, probably a year, that really come from our employees. And what we learned was we allowed people to come. We have a hero committee. It's made up of folks of all levels of the organization. We give money, we give baskets, but giving of our time is really what's most important to us. So our employees will come to the hero committee or submit a suggestion. Hey, I'd like to do this. Hey, I'd like to do this. And every year it's grown. Every year our volunteer hours go up. We started out with like 7,000, then it was 10,000 volunteer hours. We had over 20,000 volunteer hours last year from 800 employees.
I was just about to ask you how many employees you have.
Wow. I mean, that is incredible.
What was your number from how many hours from 800 employees? What did you just say?
20,000 plus.
Well, that's a lot per person.
Yeah.
I don't want to math that.
It's a lot per and last year, I believe that our participation was about 80% of our employees participated in something.
Okay.
Right?
That's
so
really good.
The year before that, it was 90% who participated in some event. For some people, it's as simple as donating $5 to wear jeans to work today.
Right.
For other people, it's doing the Pats run. For other people, we started something, two of our team members started something last year called Crochet for a Cause.
Okay.
And they gave crocheting lessons. And we crocheted beanies for Phoenix Children's Hospital.
Oh,
for the kids there who have cancer. And we thought, well, 50. That's what our goal is going
to
be.
To make 50?
Yeah. Over 250, I believe, beanies.
Wow.
I don't know the exact number, and our customers got involved and our customers donated yarn. So this year we're still doing Crochet for a Cause, but we're doing blankets and we're doing it. You know, this quarter is our Campaign for a Cause. It used to just be a Breast Cancer Awareness October, November, but we're doing right now Campaign for a Cause, which is awareness of all types of cancers. And then we go into Movember, which is also men's health awareness.
Right. Right.
So the things that we're doing right now for our Campaign for a Cause, we did Maricopa Rocks, where we painted rocks with inspirational sayings.
Oh, kindness
and sprinkle
rocks.
Them.
Yes, my daughter loves
yeah, sprinkle them
rocks.
Around Maricopa. We sold shirts and we wear them every Thursday that show I support the cause. We have red out days and gold out days to show support for certain types of cancer. Coming up, something that we've been doing for several years was Battle of the Bras. And that's where departments would decorate for for October, for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, that our male employees, the departments would decorate a bra, and then our male employees would put on a fashion show. And this got crazy
over
time.
We need some pictures for the show notes.
It's really, we did it out at our pool, and we would have we invited our guests to come, and we gave them pink boas and pink things.
Oh, how fun.
So then we would all vote, you know, people would vote on which were the best one was. This year, we've expanded that at the direction of our corporate, of Caesars Entertainment, to include all types of cancer and to include women now. So you can decorate boxers.
Oh, okay.
You can decorate a bra.
Is this an event that's happening this month?
Superheroes is really the theme. And so we'll see what we come up with. It's going to be on October 20th. We now do it in our lounge at the bar.
Okay.
Our customers get to enjoy it. Our employees get to enjoy it. And so
is this something people have to buy tickets for?
No.
Or so just show up on the 20th. You can participate.
Just show up on the 20th and have a lot of fun. And our folks get into it. If you could see these, I don't know what it'll be like this year with women participating as well, but the men rocked it. And the first year they were very nervous.
Yeah.
They come out and then it was like, who can outdo who? And
yeah,
they really put on a fun show, and it's become a very popular event for us. So we're very proud to support that.
Well, and there's a sense of pride now, and you know, there's some repeat participants.
Oh, yeah.
So they one up themselves from the year before, or they now are challenged to do bigger and better than the year before. So
you should see these bras. There are ones that are like the Wheel of Fortune slot machine.
Yeah.
There are ones that Facilities does made out of hard hats. They're so creative and so fun. And it's really a sense of pride. We allow our employees to dye their hair pink in October and blue in November. And it just creates, it's a fun around a great cause.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love it. It does. It makes it sound like a great place to work and a great place to visit. I was curious because you guys are out based in Maricopa. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, a little bit of a bedroom community here in Phoenix. I think everybody that's listening probably would be familiar. But what percentage of your guests do you think come from? Are most of them local? So they're repeat guests. I mean, loyalty is obviously a big thing in your business from the guest standpoint. Mm-hmm. Or are you getting people that come from all over to visit your casino?
Around 70, 80 miles around, I would say. We get a lot of people who drive past our competitors, I'm happy to say, in order to enjoy what Harrah's Auction has to offer.
Right.
Our Total Rewards card, which is our loyalty card, which links all their rewards, things that they earn for comps or points, to all of Caesars Entertainment, which is really a great benefit, given we're a little bit, you know, location challenged, I would say. But so our service and our loyalty card, our Total Rewards program, I think are two of the things that bring people, driving them past our competitors to come all the way into Maricopa.
Right. And I keep calling it just a casino. You offer a lot more than just casino games, right? You have other,
we do
concerts.
We just actually finished an expansion. So we now have 500 hotel rooms.
Wow. Okay.
We'll have new ballroom space that'll be ready in April so we can do more conventions. But we opened a wonderful wine bar called Oak and Fork, which serves flatbreads and a lot of wines on tap and beer. It's a full service bar, but it's a wonderful experience with an outdoor patio.
I lived in Maricopa many years ago. I would have liked to have
that there. I know. It gives people quite the options. We opened a new burger and steakhouse called Chop Block and Brew, which has the most incredible burgers that you will ever have. In the evening, it transitions to a steakhouse.
Okay. Is there a nightclub in your...
We don't have a nightclub. We have a lounge, what we call lounge, where we have entertainment a couple times a week on the lounge.
Okay.
But with our new convention space, we'll be offering more headline entertainment two times a month.
Okay.
Starting in about April.
Two times
a month.
So
we're still finishing up some of our expansion. We redid our entire casino floor, gift shop. There isn't going to be one place in our casino that hasn't been remodeled or touched, updated, or new. So if you haven't been there for a while, I would suggest you
come
out,
and visit,
not just to experience all of the great, you know, the gaming, the restaurants, the hotel. We have a wonderful pool with a swim-up bar, but the service is second to none.
Exactly.
I believe.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the things is thinking about the customer experience and how culture kind of impacts that. So, you know, imagine a 24/7 environment under construction. So just like guests visit, the construction is a 24/7 environment as well. And even under those circumstances, the greeting was happening. I noticed directions. You know, I know you used to know that the restaurant was over there, but it's moved over here and you have to get there going around the bend. But if you miss it, ask this person, they'll get you there. And so really ensuring that even under the circumstances of having construction and fake walls up and other things, that the dealing, helping the customer still have that experience and watching the interaction with the team members to support that. Cause it's stressful when that's going on.
Yeah.
And there are some, you know, folks that, you know, may not be aware that it's happening and are surprised when they come that they're what they were expecting is not there anymore.
Yeah.
But, and I have to mention my favorite new amenity is the spa. I'm a big fan of the spa out there. So you can turn it into a very nice long weekend with fabulous restaurants and gaming and a spa treatment or two.
Yeah.
If you're so inclined to do so.
A new parking garage, bingo inside, a new diamond lounge for our total reward card holders, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's a whole new Harrah's Auction.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, how long has it been there overall?
25 years.
25 years. Wow. Okay. So
We're celebrating our 25th anniversary in December.
25 years. So you definitely have seen that area grow.
Yeah. I've been there for 11 years.
Yeah.
So I haven't been there the whole time, but apparently yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was basically a community that barely existed. I don't know. Not that long ago.
Yeah. The city incorporated 15 years ago.
15. Okay. That sounds about right.
And so the casino resides on the Auction Indian Community Reservation adjacent to the city of Maricopa. So the interconnectivity between the city proper and the Indian community exists. And you go out to Maricopa now and it's growth. You know, there's a lot going on out there. And the casino used to be really the only thing you saw. You'd come across that, 347 and all of a sudden there'd be this oasis up there and that would be And it still is, beautiful. Now it's a much larger three buildings out there, plus the some of the new amenities that are out there. So it's quite lovely.
Yeah. And you mentioned kind of making it a weekend. It's almost like getting a little bit of a vacation outside of the city, separating yourself from it a little bit. You've got everything you need right there.
That's right.
You don't have to drive so far.
One of the things that I wanted to mention is I talk about our service a lot, and it's not just volunteering or having a great culture that gets people to deliver great service, but we also reward our folks for doing that as well. And I think this is something that's pretty different from what most casino or hospitality companies do. We spend a lot of time surveying our customers, so we get customer survey results every week so we can monitor how we're doing by each department. But quarterly, we bonus our employees for achieving service goals. And we've been doing that for, probably 15 years or so. It started out as a cash bonus. If you achieve, this level, you have a baseline of service. If you achieve this goal, you get paid out. We've since gone to points where they can purchase things with points because we can tie in a lot of our other reward systems with those points so they can earn them faster.
Okay.
But we have something that's called a race to rewards. And if you finish in the top seven in the company, in our race anyway, in service, then you get these rewards. So we want to make sure that we're not just asking you to deliver great service, but when you do, you're being rewarded for it in addition to your performance, to your merit review.
Yeah. So. I mean, I think you do a lot to make people really feel valued. And I think that's what will make them loyal and, and stay with you. Because as any business owner would know, turnover is one of the things that's going to cost you a lot of money. So what do you have? Some really long-term employees, anybody that's been there the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah. We have probably 20 or so people who have been there long term. The hospitality is well known for its turnover. I mean, a lot of people don't take a job as a busser for a career necessarily.
Right.
But we do have a lot of people who have moved up in the company. We have a career mobility program for our hourly folks to move into supervision and for our supervisors to prepare them for management. We have, I believe, a 40% promotion rate from that, which I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
So high turnover anyway is just commonplace. So our turnover is it's a little higher this year. And I think it's because we've grown so much and hired a lot of people who maybe we rushed into the hire or there was so much going on with opening new restaurants and stuff, but it's about 25%,
yeah,
which is really low for the hospitality
for the industry. Yeah.
So we're very, very fortunate.
Yeah. Are you currently looking to add to staff right now? What kinds of positions are you adding?
Well, I think everybody in the hospitality business, if you have a restaurant, is looking for cooks.
Cooks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cooks are very hard to find. It's a national epidemic, actually, cook shortage.
Interesting.
So we're looking for cooks, but we've put into place a cook apprentice program. So for folks who haven't ever cooked and think they might like a career in that, you can come and join us and we'll train you and put you through a rotation where you can learn different skills in different restaurants.
Oh, that's great.
As you move up. So don't be afraid to give it a try if you want to. We'll do our best to help you be successful.
Right. And you've got some high-end restaurants, so they could learn some great skills.
Oh, yeah. And we have what's called a cook leveling program. So as you gain certain skills, you get moved up, cook one, cook two, cook three, mm-hmm. have the opportunity to, you know, increase your income, to work, you know, to just develop more skills, to work in different types of restaurants.
Right.
So that's one of the things that we're doing to try and help that, you know, people grow a career in that area. We're also looking always for housekeeping folks.
Mm-hmm.
They're tough jobs, but we just have a multitude of different positions that can fit many, many skill sets. So I'd encourage people to go to our website to just visit, you know, put in Octin and you'll see our careers page. And
find
we
all
have
the
professional level jobs. We have, you know, beverage server jobs, bartender. Hey, I know people love to bartend. We have bartending jobs.
I did that for years. I actually, sometimes I still miss it. So if, you know, going back to your idea of culture and the culture of caring, culture of play, are there some general characteristics that somebody that you're looking to hire would exhibit? Do you have kind of a certain type of person that you're looking for?
Yes. Actually, we have an interesting interview process. And the first thing that we do is a panel interview. And so you come in with a, you know, group of other folks who are applying for a job there. And it's not about skill at all. It's about demonstrating an upbeat and positive attitude, your willingness to have fun, to kind of break out and just interact with other people in a very fun way. How can you suggest things that we have on property? And it's more about personality and just demonstrating a willingness to have fun, to be outgoing.
Yeah.
That's what we need. If you pass the panel interview, you know, then you can go into the department. We can train the skill. You've probably heard that before.
And this is what everybody's saying these days.
You know, with the folks that you do.
Yeah.
But it's the other pieces
of
who you are inherently. Yeah, of who you are inherently.
Yeah.
It's okay with me if you're not that type of person.
Yeah.
Not everybody is.
Right.
So find what's right for you because that's where you'll thrive.
That's where everybody
and
will
that's,
be happier.
I tell my daughter that all the time.
Yeah.
Find what you love to do and you'll do it well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're looking for. People who want to be in this kind of environment, who get their energy from others.
Right.
Who, you know, just they get jazzed up and feel fulfilled by that. And
yes.
So that's what our panel interview is trying to discern.
Yes. That's one thing I did like when I worked in the, you know, bartending and waitressing is that it is almost like just social time.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time it didn't feel like a job to me.
Right.
Well,
and
that
it doesn't have to.
And that idea of, you know, we can train to the skill, we can't train the other things is really, I think, has become a little bit of an evolution in the process and also how we're marketing those positions being available and what's open. And we're looking for employees in different places than we might have before. We're mm-hmm. thinking about, you know, what other industries might have comparable skills. And I think that's why we're getting better workplace, because we're allowing those things to be maybe more so, but definitely equally as important as their ability to do the job mm-hmm. is how much they want it and do they fit in with.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think one of the things, especially when culture is a critical component, is they could still be the best employee, but that culture might not be something that they're living
mm-hmm.
and therefore it's not a good fit. Even if they are the best at what they do,
mm-hmm.
they may not be the best person for that particular environment.
And that's challenging. It's challenging to always find that. It's been particularly challenging for us as we've grown this year and added so many positions
mm-hmm.
because there's this desperation of making sure you get people hired in a timely way so that you can still run your business profitably, right? You can't hire them too far in advance. You can't hire them at the last minute so that they're not trained. And there's, you know, it's a very low unemployment. So it's hard to find people.
Right.
And I think we've seen just some growing pains in adding a lot of new people into our organization very quickly, and how's that impacting our culture?
Right.
And so we're really trying to pay really close attention to what's the right fit? How are we coaching folks?
Yeah.
If they're not the right fit, how are we helping them move on?
Because if you're short-staffed, you're going to burn out your good employees that you do have.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
we've been concerned about from the beginning, will this growth dilute our culture? And what do we need to do to make sure that we continue to have a strong culture? And I think, you know, we have some base correction to go back and do, some fundamentals that we're going to revisit with our leadership team, people who are new leaders who haven't mm-hmm. been with us a long time, just to make sure they're able to perform to that level. So it's dynamic, right? It's something we have to pay attention to mm-hmm. all the time and make sure that we just keep our finger on the pulse of what's happening with our team and what they're experiencing.
Right, and keeping your ear to the ground listening. Mm-hmm.
We're not perfect. Right. You know, but we're trying all the time.
Yeah, but that right there also exhibits something about your culture, right? You can admit like, okay, well, maybe we don't always get it right, or maybe there's some challenges in the fact that you mm-hmm. did grow so quickly, but working to course correct, that's what we all have to do, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's shift a little bit to Abby. You have a totally different type of company culture at HMA because you're working with how many team members do you have now?
We have 6 full-time.
Yeah. So 800 versus 6, right?
Right.
Totally different ballgame and culture there, because you get very, very close in a small team. Everybody knows everything about everyone. So you have to kind of create something a little bit different than what you've got in the hospitality industry where you've got hundreds and hundreds
right.
of employees. So
I should set a goal, though, of how many volunteer hours so I would know. I know we have a lot of them, but we don't track it in that same way. But I'd be curious. Maybe we'll do that.
To know your ratio.
But so we're a full-service public relations and marketing firm. We have 6 full-time people and about 25 full-time clients that we work with across a variety of different industries. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, although we might not say it in a formalized way, so much of what attracts us to certain businesses and why I think we become a good fit to do that work for them and wanting to work with them is it falls into that culture component that we want to feel good about the clients that we're working with and what they stand for in the yes. community and things that are important to them. And we know that those kinds of things are, you can do good while doing well as a business. And so it's important for us mm-hmm. to kind of not only as our business is, but what are our clients' philosophies are in terms of what that looks like. And we're always asking the question about their community outreach and their community service environment and community relations efforts. You know, we don't have a formalized plan in our office in terms of, set hours or set organizations or anything to that extent, but we really make sure that we talk about the importance of doing something outside of the day-to-day. And that can be anything. You know, certainly we encourage them to be actively involved in our industry-related organizations and the things that help them grow professionally. Mm-hmm. But if they have an interest in literacy, then go volunteer, reading at the library. Or if you have an interest in disability affairs, then go get involved in that. If you're politically involved, that's great. You know, what is it that's going to, get you excited outside of the workforce, mm-hmm. workday, and then go out and do that. And we make time in our day for them to be able to do that. It is not a, you don't have to take vacation time to volunteer somewhere. You just have to make sure that we know where you're at and go yeah. off and go do it. And, it benefits them as an individual and gives them, a sense of giving back, that servant leadership, that right. servant heart that we all want to see. And it benefits us as a business as well. I'm not going to lie and say it's all, good, pat on the back stuff. But when we are involved out in the community and we sit on boards of directors with other business leaders in our community, it comes back to help us. And so, and one of my favorite things that happens is when we can, marry all of those things into one thing where we're sitting on a board of directors and we hear about a need and we have a client who is trying to find something in the community to get involved in, and we can make that right. match. And it is because of those relationships that we were able to pull it right. together. And that's magic when it right. happens. And so,
well, that's all coming from a place of the goodness in your heart,
yeah.
right?
So yeah.
it's,
and it works for us. And I just feel we get better employees, we get better participation, and our team works really hard. And this is a great way for them to have something other than that to give back to the community. So we've been a part of, I would say, close to 100 organizations in the community, whether, again, that's through actual board or volunteer leadership or supported through our clients' involvements or our own personal connections. Yeah.
And I like that you and Scott, as the leaders, are doing that as well.
Yes.
You're not just asking employees to do what you're exhibiting it to.
Yep. And have to. I think you have to lead by example. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I look at, you know, the makeup of our team, and when you're coming out of college and you're getting your first job, that's your focus. That is where your energies are. And it's hard to think about having something else outside of that. So we have to demonstrate how that's possible and how you can do that. And so let's do it as a team and introduce you to some things. And then maybe you'll go out and find some opportunity. And that, again, it can be anything. There's not something we aren't going to ask, you know, allow them to do, if you will. If they have interest in it and we can, you know, we can support it, we will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I look at my team members that have moved on and done other things, they're still doing that. They're still getting involved and participating. And their paths might have taken a different direction, but they're still part of it that is that giving back component.
Well, do you think that goes back to your hiring decisions as well, as maybe you're looking for that in the people that you hire? So it is something that, like we talked about, it's inherent
in
them.
And I think what's interesting in talking about that hiring to skill kind of thing, the I would say in the last 5 years maybe, that's a question I'm being asked by a potential employee, where it's not so much me saying, you know, what else do you do, or look at the resume and see, you know, what the outside activities are. They're asking me what my corporate culture is, and they're asking what we do. And you know, and we have other things. Many of us are dog lovers and cat lovers, and there's an animal at the office many days a week, and families come in and there's kids in the conference room because, you know, it was a short day at school, and so they get dropped off or whatever it is. And that, to me, is part of culture as well.
It is.
And so I was fascinated the first time someone asked me that question, and I had an answer, but it certainly wasn't what I was prepared to answer. And I'm thinking it's generational.
I was going to say, it's the millennials, and they're getting, I mean, I think in the media, we see a lot of bad rap for the millennials. They're entitled, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's actually a generation that's very caring, and they do want purpose in their life. So when they go to work, they want to know there's a bigger purpose, that the company is doing good things, that they have the opportunity to do good things. So I definitely have noticed that as well. It's a conversation I keep having on this show, because I think millennials shouldn't get the bad rap that they're getting.
Not on that environment. No, absolutely not. And you think, and I, when we have those conversations, and I talk a lot with soon to graduate kids out of college, and about it's important to interview the employer as much as it is that they're interviewing you. And it's as much of a question and answer as it is a visual. So when you walk into that office, do you see yourself there? Does it fit what you want? And that's a whole variety of things. Is it a very corporate button down, you know, suit jacket type place?
You have to be honest
place?
With yourself about it.
Right.
Because if you try to put, you know, that square peg round hole, you try to wedge yourself in there and you hate the way you have to dress.
Right.
You hate that you have to sit at this cubicle or whatever it is. You're not going to do well.
No. And nobody wants to go into something already feeling it might not be a good fit. And it's a hard conversation to have.
Right.
But we are a certain way. This is how our office looks. This is what we do. This is how we dress. This is our, you know, our quote unquote rules for being here. There's no hard feelings if it's not a good fit for you. In fact, let me help you find a better place if that's in fact what it is. But we want people in our environment and as much for their benefit to feel good about it. But we want to, you know, we are a small office. So as you said, we're in everybody's lives and you want everybody to feel good about that. And I think when we do that, and I think in part, you know, why Beth and I are here sharing the conversation is then we become part of that family as well. I mean, we've been working with Harrah's for a long time.
Yes.
The team there becomes part of our team and vice versa. And there's a lot of participation in things that are outside of the, you know, the scope of what we're supposed to do, but we want to do. We want to participate and be part of it because it's an extension of us. And so we're there too many hours every day to not have it be a place we want to get up and go to.
Right.
And, you know, for some of us, it's, you know, we're there more than we are with our own families. And so how do we make sure that it's that we're giving ourselves to the place that fits with our personality and the culture that we want to make? And culture is so much more than than cubicles and pizzas in the
ping pong tables.
Yeah, it is a feeling. It's that too. That's the outward part of it. Right. But you know when you walked into some place if it's a good fit, and that you can see yourself putting your 110% into that because they're doing the same thing back for you.
And I think there's a gut check you can do with at the end of the day. I mean, we all might be tired if it's been a long busy day, but if there's like that drained feeling. Or there's that, oh my gosh, I did a lot of good things today. I'm ready to sit down and relax, but you feel somewhat energized by it. So if you can feel that energy from your work and, you know, your folks that go and show up and greet guests and have fun and play and high five everyone in the during the day, they probably go home feeling pretty good about what they did for the day.
I hope so.
So,
you know, if I could just tag on to something that Abby said about the leadership and, you know, my workplace couldn't be any different than hers. Mm-hmm. And hospitality is, it's a hard casino business. It's very, very different. We can't bring our dogs to work. We can't bring our kids to work.
No.
You know, but so how do you make that connection with everybody, with your 800 employees? I've worked in places where there's 3,000 employees, and the volunteerism or just the fun stuff that we have where the leaders interact with everybody in the organization.
Yes.
When we're out volunteering together, when our general manager, Robert Livingston, is leading the charge on the Patron, on the Habitat for Humanity, or he comes in and learns how to crochet, or Mike, our director of marketing, comes in and learns how to crochet a hat, a beanie.
Yeah.
And we're doing all of this together. It takes the level out of the workplace. It's just us being human beings and doing something together that's meaningful. And that begins to cement what the purpose of us being there. And it's not, oh my God, there's a general manager. We know each other.
It's not
we
an intimidation
know each other.
Factor.
And in places that I've worked in hospitality where, it's the executive level, I don't think we have as much of that in my place of work. And we'll work really hard to make sure we continue to do that when we work side by side with our team members, when we do a walk a while in your shoes so we can understand their job so that we can hear from them in a more relaxed setting. You know, what's going on with your business? We walk every day. We do EGE walks and talk to EGE walks where we go around, say hello, but make sure we talk to our employees. How's everything going? You know, so that we just flatten the organization. So we're more one team and not a bunch of levels.
I love
that. And I think that's really critical in a workplace like mine, where you're big, you're in different departments and you don't sit next to each other every day.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a very important distinction. Thank you for sharing that.
But that kind of thinking is something that even the smallest of businesses can be thinking about. You know, there shouldn't be any task in an office environment that the highest paid person in the room isn't willing to do and the least paid employee isn't willing to do, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's not about who gets the coffee. It's just, is there coffee?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that there may not be a huge hierarchy or lots of levels in your organization, but you can, even at that small business, still show that you're the one team by, being in the trenches and being part of the
Absolutely.
Conversation.
I can share a little anecdotal story that has to do with Scott that has stuck with me 4 years. And I think I may have even still been an intern with you at the time, maybe had just been hired as an account coordinator, but been at some sort of networking or some sort of event. And I was standing next to Scott and introduced to somebody. Scott's like a celebrity when you go to any local events, everybody knows him. And I introduced myself as somebody who worked for Scott, and he corrected me and said, no, she works with me. And I, at that point, was like, okay, he's the president of the company. I'm just like a brand new hire. And I have always remembered that, and I've always used that when I talk to people. I always like talking with people rather than to people. Mm-hmm. I work with you, not for you, or kind of creating that even playing field. And he just did that very inherently, but it was super meaningful to me at the time, and that's very telling of the kind of culture that you created at HMA.
Absolutely.
And that's still the same. And he would introduce you that way now, as someone he used to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would still be the way he would refer to you. And and it is important to us to have that feeling that we are all part of that.
Yeah.
You know, in any business, there's levels. There has to be to do that. But when it gets right down to it, we should be one team with one purpose and one goal of being the best that we can possibly be. And we do that together because we're not good if somebody isn't happy and someone isn't doing what they're supposed to do. We all aren't doing good then. So.
Right.
I will relay that story to him. He'll get a kick out of knowing it's still so valuable to you because I think it means a lot as well, and it's important.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a really, really great conversation. Thank you both for coming in here, for sharing all of this. If anybody is looking to get in touch with you for either, maybe if they're looking for a career at UkChin, where would they go? And then if they'd like to get in touch with you personally, maybe to find out a little bit more about how you've created this great culture, how can they find you, Beth?
They can find me.
Are you on LinkedIn yourself, personally?
I am. Okay. I am on LinkedIn. Yep. And so, they can just visit, if you just put in Harris UkChin, it'll take you to our website, and there's a careers tab right on there. But yes, you can definitely get in touch with me on LinkedIn. I would love to hear from anybody.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite. I would love to learn from anybody if you have a great idea, especially in a business similar to mine, an environment like mine.
So it's Beth Amoroso, right?
Beth Amoroso. A-M-O-R-O-S-O.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. And we'll link to your LinkedIn in our show notes
as well.
But
it's been great. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, I loved it. It's good to hear about this stuff. And then Abby, if anybody's looking for you, if anybody needs a PR firm and they're looking for something.
Thank you very much for that. Yes, you can visit us online at hmapr.com, and we are all over the social connections as well, so you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we are on LinkedIn as well, so just HMA Public Relations in the search bar, and you should be able to find our team, and names and email addresses are all on our website, so you can connect with us that way.
If we have any fellow PR pros listening, HMA Blog is a great resource. I think you've got some good stuff on there with your Media Mondays, a lot of good introductions to some journalists and folks that you need to know in the industry, so go and check that out. But thank you both for joining us. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you.
Great.